scale them. For example, in Kenya, the very excellent fertilizer networks, what we call hub agro-dealer networks, where big wholesale companies which have been supported by some of the, you know, development agencies are now making fertilizer relatively accessible to smallholder farmers. But those kind of models like the agro-dealer hub networks are not in place in other countries. And clearly promoting some of those would be important. Also, some countries have introduced fertilizer subsidies. Everybody agrees that smallholder farmers need to have access to fertilizer, and therefore there may be actually a case in introducing what we're calling smart targeted subsidies. Is what we're saying, they need to be managed in a manner that is actually not displacing the private sector. It must actually be done in a manner that also accommodates the private sector.
Also, I wanted to talk about the controversy regarding the use of fertilizers. For instance, manure, which produces greenhouse gases. How do you respond to the controversy surrounding the use of fertilizers?
Well, I think this has been exaggerated. I mean, do you want in Africa 339 million Africans who are chronically undernourished to remain in that state, or you really want to ensure that there's actually increased productivity? At the rate of 30 kilograms per hectare compared to 150 kilograms per hectare in Asia and India, that's very minimal use of fertilizer. The reality is that there are ways of actually ensuring that fertilizer is used in a responsible manner. It is actually combined with use of other organic matters, and indeed many countries, there are programs on the ground which are actually focusing on education to ensure that there's a balance in the use of that fertilizer. But as of now, there's such a minimal use of fertilizer that really the argument does not actually hold water relative to the huge numbers of smallholder farmers and rural communities who are food insecure across the continent.
That was Professor Richard Makandawire, Vice President of the African Fertilizer and Agribusiness Partnership. He spoke with me from Addis Ababa. Well, top newspapers in Kenya say the country's wildlife service is losing the fight against elephant poachers, calling the problem a national disaster. Conservation groups have warned for years about poachers not only as a threat to elephants, but to the country's lucrative tourism industry. In an editorial, the Standard newspaper says the Kenya Wildlife Service is not telling the whole story when it says poaching is not an immediate danger. It says those charged with protecting wildlife must come out of their lethargy. The Daily Nation accuses government officials of downplaying what it calls the brazen slaughter of Kenya's elephants. AFP reports a campaign has collected over 20,000 signatures calling on President Kenyatta to declare elephant poaching a national disaster.
With Uganda's unemployment rate at near 83%, the government is being challenged by a group of former students who have formed the National Association of the Unemployed. Their demands are for the government to sponsor and create jobs for Uganda's large youth population. Elizabeth Paulette has more for VOA from Kampala, Uganda.
Uganda has one of the highest rates of unemployment on the African continent. It also has one of the largest populations of people under 30. This combination has created a contentious climate from which the National Association of the Unemployed has emerged. The group is asking the government for widespread reforms to ease unemployment burdens. Demands made by the NOU include the creation of a Ministry of Unemployment, parliamentary representation, equal opportunity for job candidates, and creation of job centers. NOU has threatened to boycott the 2016 elections if the government does not act on their program. Doreen Nyanjura, the communications director for NOU, explains the group's aims.
We want to bring all the unemployed Ugandans under one organization, under one forum, and we want to, you know, to tell them and prove that even the oppressed majority have the power to change things. You know, things must be right in this country. But we shall do our best to make sure that, you know, the problem of unemployment is solved once and for all. Failure to do that, we shall mobilize all these unemployed Ugandans not to participate in the 2016 elections.
The Ministry of Gender, Labor and Social Development insists it's working on policies to help expand job opportunities for youth. Programs such as the Youth Venture Capital Fund have set aside $9.5 million to assist startups in the private sector. The Youth Livelihood Program has also been instituted to teach vocational and entrepreneurial skills to young people around the country. Milton Turiasima, the ministry's principal labor officer of research and statistics, says he understands the problem.
Unemployment is still a challenge to our government. The economy is still small. It has not yet reached that capacity to where it can employ all the labor force. So that's a challenge. Around 400,000 Ugandans enter the labor force every year. And the capacity of our economy, I think, the maximum it can do is maybe 100,000. So the remaining people can't have jobs. So, but the government has put in many measures. There are many measures to address this problem of unemployment.
The NOU believes that while such programs are positive, funding for them has essentially dried up. They also list social ills that entice the unemployed, such as prostitution, drug dealing, and theft, as symptomatic of the issue. Turiasima suggests the ministry is open to engaging them as long as the group is properly organized. But the government's solution to unemployment is clear.
The only option is, out of this, is entrepreneurship. People should develop skills to employ, and I think we need to change the mindset of the younger people. We should look at self-employment rather than studying that when you finish, you will be waiting for another person to employ you. We have a change in the mindset so that people should study knowing that they will be employing themselves.
Yet many students think the solution of all unemployed Ugandans starting their own business is unrealistic. Nyanjura explains why.
This government has intentionally made studying and degrees irrelevant. We even have those who are still at universities and institutions, but with little or no hopes of, you know, finding something to do when they are done with their studies. But I don't know how many of us really have the capacity to do that. For example, there are some people in our group who had already tried to start some small businesses and all that, only for the executive director of KCCA, Jennifer Msisi, to say that she no longer wants these people to operate, you know, from the streets and all that. So we have been pushed to the wall from all corners.
The NOU say they and their demands are not going away. Government officials have stated they're welcome to ideas and talks on reform leading to employment. But demands must be both reasonable and achievable. Elizabeth Pola for VOA News, Kampala, Uganda.
And continuing on with our special edition of Africa News tonight, the UN Refugee Agency warns it is running out of time to get hundreds of thousands of displaced Iraqis ready for winter. The UNHCR says accommodations must be arranged and supplies pre-positioned before the cold weather hits in less than 3 months. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from UNHCR headquarters in Geneva.
The UN Refugee Agency says time is of the essence. It notes winter is approaching fast, and work to reinforce tents and other housing must be accelerated before the snow, rain, and mud add to the misery of hundreds of thousands of people displaced inside Iraq. Iraq currently is sweltering under average temperatures of 40 degrees Celsius. In less than 3 months, temperatures will dip to below 10 degrees Celsius and the rains will begin. The UNHCR says its winterization program is off to a late start because of the multiple crises which keep cropping up in this conflict-ridden country. UNHCR spokesman Adrian Edwards tells VOA that in a more stable environment, winterization preparations usually begin around May or June.
When you're looking at a big influx of people that happens in August or into September, with the possibilities of further displacement, it can become a very major matter. Winterization is more than about more tents, and it's also about trying to help with better housing, fixed housing, concrete buildings, trying to repair buildings, trying to prevent broken windows, but getting them fixed. All kinds of stuff goes on around that.
Iraq is in the midst of a displacement crisis. The UN reports an estimated 1.8 million people have been displaced since January. That is when the militant group calling itself Islamic State began rampaging through northern Iraq, seizing territory and forcing people to flee their homes to escape their savage attacks. Iraq also is hosting 215,000 Syrian refugees who have fled conflict in their country. More than 800,000 people have taken refuge in northern Iraq's Kurdistan region. But Adrian Edwards notes displaced people are spread around some 1,500 different locations across the country. All are in need of help.
We're trying to help not just in Kurdistan, but also in central areas of Iraq too. We're really trying to get to all places we can. It's a complex environment because of, as you know, the very difficult security situation, and because of people being spread out over so many places. It's a very complex, very difficult operation. It goes way beyond the problems of tents. And if people aren't able to return home over the next weeks, it's going to be a very difficult winter indeed.
The UNHCR so far has released 20,000 additional tents, but it says more warm clothing and heaters will be needed. Besides being a very difficult operation, the winterization program also is very expensive. The agency reports it plans to launch a further appeal for $315 million soon to help meet these needs. It says the main focus will be to provide life-saving protection services and assistance to help the displaced survive the winter. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
And scientists warn that agriculture around the world can be significant.